Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride, 'cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough behind me. So if you want the sweetest honey, I think hindsight's 1990. Yes, I mean. To pretend I got a hand I can lend, 'cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows Taught Me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Zetus Lapidus, welcome to Shit 90 Shows Taught Me, where we're covering Xenon Girl, the 21st century. I'm Jess Sterling, welcoming in my co-host, the podcaster major, Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Earth to planet Jessica, don't you know that I'm majorly bugging right now? I don't know. That was a little bit... That one I get like, you know.
You gotta go like stellar. There was something stellar in there.
Well, yeah.
Nebula is the character. Yeah.
Am totally freaking out right now. This is just... I mean, this has been on the docket since the very beginning. We thought of this show, Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. And I mean, it was like one of the number one movies that we wanted to cover, but it only took us 2 years to get here.
It took us a very long time. But you know what? Progress takes time. And people are lucky we didn't wait all the way till 2049 to cover this movie, because that is when it takes place. But we are not alone. We couldn't do this alone, because Sarah, you and I have seen this movie. It's a 1999 film. We have seen it many a time. We have seen it's the sequel and the Z3 movie. We've seen them all. And so we had to bring someone in who hasn't seen the film before. Someone who would appreciate zoom, zoom, zoom. Make my heart go.
And boom, boom.
It is none other than the podcaster major, Adam. Adam, how are you?
I'm really surprised you didn't say minor and go with the age joke there.
I try to be nice to the guests mostly.
I'm doing okay. I'm doing like pretty inky, I think.
I forgot inky.
Overall.
Yes,
inky's so good. Inky is so good. Is Inky the original Eggy?
Oh my god, really, my first note of this whole movie is Inky equals Eggy. Like that.
Yes, actually, that is the note. That's the one comparison. Inky, if you're like, Eggy, what in the world does Eggy mean? The answer is Inky. But if you want to know what Inky means, the answer is Eggy.
Yeah.
Which
came first, the ink or the egg? Who knows?
We don't know. Yeah. We don't know.
Funnily enough, my husband had the exact same note. He's like, you have to ask Sarah about Inky and Eggy.
Okay.
And
I was like, great. Context, it does work one-to-one.
Yeah.
That's all you gotta know.
So this movie, I have to say, if you had quizzed me on this movie prior to the rewatch, I would never have known it was about insurance fraud. Never in my life would have been able to tell you this movie is about insurance fraud. But I gotta say, I really enjoyed my rewatch, mostly because the attention to detail in this film for a Disney Channel original movie is kind of wild, Sarah. Like, they all have these, like, they have their own language, essentially. They have, like, these, like, not, I don't want to say uniforms, but everything everyone is wearing is very shiny and latexy and like stretchy and pink and blue and purple. They have these wild hairdos. The attention to detail in this film for a Disney Channel original movie is pretty wild.
Is this a piece of art? Absolutely. Is this a time capsule movie? I would say so. This is, okay, so for anybody that did not grow up as like a millennial, blah, 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 or like an elder millennial, whatever you want to call me, the best comparison is, you know, the chokehold that High School Musical has on the younger generation.
Yes, yeah.
It is comparable to the chokehold that Xenon Girl of the 21st Century had on me since 1999 when I saw it at first. This has been and will be my favorite DCOM movie, the best. And I mean, I've seen High School Musical. It is shit in comparison. And I will stand by that for the rest of my life.
Sarah, you're going to make all the people turn it off.
I don't care. I am sick of the children telling me that High School Musical, the musical, the series, the musical, the series, the series, the musical is the best shit that's ever happened in Disney.
I think it's kind of, I don't know, Adam, you tell me, because you are more of the generation of the High School Musical generation. I would say like High School Musical is a musical proper, whereas Xenon is not a musical. Like, there's a song at the end that is a bop, but there's not music throughout. So it's not a musical. Am I wrong, Adam?
Wow. So many takes just happened. There are so many things that were just said.
Do we need to slow it down?
I mean, okay. I don't even know where to start with this. Okay, you guys are both far more precious about this movie than I had originally thought. I'm not going to lie. I'm going to have to refrain myself.
No, I never love you to unleash the beast.
Because it's very, like, watching through my husband's eyes who had never seen the movie, I will say, if you're watching it for the first time as an adult, you're probably like, did I take acid before watching a film? Right? Like, there's a lot of moments where you're like, explain to me how Chelsea Clinton is the president. You know what I mean? Like, there's just a lot of question marks happening.
That was my second note, actually, after Inky and Aggie. Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely am like a High School Musical. You know, that is certainly like the generation that I am. I loved High School Musicals, certainly have me in a chokehold. I could sing basically all of those songs lyric for lyric right now, and I haven't seen the movie in like probably a decade. I don't know, Sarah. I don't think High School Musical is shit, and I kind of thought that this movie was so dumb.
No.
I'm not going to lie. When Jess brought it up right at the beginning, like, oh, I forgot this movie was about insurance fraud. Why the hell is this whole movie about this guy who's like committing insurance fraud and killing all these people? And this 13-year-old girl is like the key to everything. What is this? What did I watch?
Have you ever seen a kids movie ever? It's always up to the kids or the random pets. It's like, even watching, I don't know, even playing D&D, I'm like, why the fuck is my 2'7" fairy responsible for saving the world? She's a dumb fuck. It's like, you know,
and Xenon's certainly like
the smartest, prettiest, coolest girl ever.
She struggles sometimes. I don't know. Like, the amount, I really wish I had started like a Zetus Lapidus like counter, or a major counter, or a minor counter.
I like
a Lunarius. Oh my god, so Lunarius, so stellar.
Listen, just because you put the word major and minor at the end of a phrase does not make it like a joke or good writing. Like, it
sweat
was,
minor, Adam.
I'm sweating major, Jess. It was there were so many times. Oh my god. We'll talk through it, but like when they're in that meeting and like she's being yelled at by the old grumpy fuck or whatever his name is, he's like, silence, major. And I'm like, what? No one talks like that.
I think the problem is, ridiculous. Because we have, like, we'll get into the whole thing, but the gist of it, right, is, like, Xenon lives at a space station, and she ends up having to go to Earth. But the Earth kids mostly dress pretty normally beyond, why am I blanking on her name immediately?
Margie
has furry everything. Anything she wears is furry. But I think the main problem with this space slang isn't that it exists. It's that the adults use it too. I think if you're going to have space slang, only the kids should be using it.
Why?
Not the old guy.
Yeah, I hard agree. Yeah, I completely agree with that.
No. They have their own. It's regional, right? It's like howdy for Texas or y'all or stuff like that. It's regional. Yeah. It's like regionally in space they speak like.
But the way it's said makes it sound like it should be like, ugh, like totally duh. Like it sounds like something a kid would say or a teenager would say.
Right.
But yeah, Adam, were you shocked to hear that not only is this there's Xenon, but then there's also the Z2 or Xenon the Zequel, and then there's also Z3.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I was like shocked per se, because I finished the movie. Disney Plus is like, hey, do you want to watch the next one? I'm like, what? There's more of these?
There are more.
What does that even mean?
Yeah.
That's a lot of Xenon, I think. Three movies worth? I mean, yeah. Didn't we already do everything? I think there are
more songs in the other ones from my memory, because I obviously Zoom Zoom is iconic, but I did remember... Oh my, Adam, when I tell you I was jamming on the couch to Zoom Zoom, it's so easy because it has like three words. It's so easy to jam out
it's
to.
It's so dumb because it has like three words. What, exactly. What do you mean? Oh my God. Yeah, the song was so bad. Like, time. The choreography of this guy up on stage.
It's very
was
bad. Yeah.
Awful. Like they couldn't have got someone who could dance like a little bit better.
Protozoa is a cultural icon.
Protozoa. And what is the band? Like Microbe? Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Microbe. What is this? Osmosis Jones? Why do we have Protozoa and Microbe being the band? What is going on here?
It's so funny. So yeah, let's get into maybe some of the cast a little bit. There are a couple recognizable faces in a sea of who the hell is that. And so we have Kirsten Storms as, which kind of a perfect name, honestly, to play Xenon Carr. Honestly, the thing I recognize her most from is Xenon, but she does do some voices in Kim Possible, which obviously another Disney product. So.
Yeah, she was on a soap opera for, you know, years and years and years. So
yeah.
I think it was Days of Our Lives. And she frequented that for a very long time, as one does. Her name on Days of Our Lives is Belle Black.
Iconic. Spicy.
Yeah. Oh, she's still. Oh, no. Now she's in General Hospital. She's kind of like a soap opera queen.
Then we have Raven Simone, obviously most notable from That's So Raven, but they've been in just so many things. I think, I don't know, probably Adam, the most recognizable person in the cast. I don't think there's anybody that exceeds them.
Certainly for me, the most recognizable. I don't know if anyone else had been in other stuff that you guys have seen, but it was Raven Simone or bust here. Is the only person I recognized.
You didn't recognize Gregory, who plays Ephraim in Everwood? Nope.
No.
Sarah, have you seen Everwood? I don't know
if
you
ever talked
about it. I feel like Everwood would have been up your alley back in the day when it was on. He played like the main character, Ephraim Brown. That was in the early aughts, 2002 to 2006. So I recognized him from that. But beyond those couple of people, mostly everyone else, a sea of question marks for me, which I didn't mind. You know, it's a DCOM, doesn't necessarily have to have the most notable people in it to be exciting.
Well, the most notable thing that they were in was Xenon Girl of the 21st Century. Duh.
There you go.
Yeah, once you've peaked.
Like, where would you possibly want to go if you've already been in the best DCOM of the galaxy?
Also, did you know that this movie was originally conceived as a pilot for a TV series, Adam?
Yikes.
There was supposed to be a fourth one too, and it got pulled. And
I saw that. Yes.
I say,
there was a petition online with like 40,000 signatures that people wanted.
I signed 40,000 times. Yeah, I know.
Who needs four of these?
Me. I do.
Oh my God.
Zetus Lapidus. I needed it.
Zetus Lapidus.
Who is Zetus Lapidus?
It's like, oh my God.
Oh, so what I was, okay, that was the other point. Before we dive into like actually talking too much about what the movie's about, Zetus Lapidus is super interesting. We all assumed it starts with a Z because Xenon, Zetus Lapidus, right? In fact, Zetus is the large, like one of the largest constellations in the sky. So it's C-E-T-U-S, Zetus. And then Lapidus is beyond a reference to Frank Lapidus from Lost. It is Saturn's third largest moon. So it's like a combo of like two space terms.
Wow. Wait, so it's C with a C? Zetus?
Yeah, I guess it's, no. But it's, you pronounce it Zetus still, but it's Zetus.
There were some people that were saying Zetus.
Okay, so then it is Zetus Lapidus, but it just sounds like Zetus Lapidus.
I've always said Zetus Lapidus.
Me too, and I will continue to always say it now. Sarah, anytime anything wild happens in my life, I'm going to message you, Zetus Lapidus!
I don't think you're actually going to do that.
I'm going to do it. Wait.
I feel like I've been doing that.
So we have some really fun slang, but the whole conceit of the movie, we have 13-year-old Xenon. She's living on the space station. It's 2049. Keep that year in mind because some of the technology, we got to talk about it.
Well, go on.
because we're 50 years into the future at the time this is being made. And her parents are working on like all this stuff at the space station, but Xenon is always getting into trouble. And she is like sus of this guy who comes on the ship and is like trying to steal things with his tiny itty bitty, looks like one of those batteries you find in watches, but it's a disc. And she sees him doing it. She gets into trouble. She gets shipped away to Earth to live with her aunt, meets Greg. She's like uncovering this whole plot that's supposed to blow up the space station and kill everyone for insurance money.
But they never said that, but I fully had a realization moment that that's what it was.
Yeah. No, that I think that to me is probably, this is a very fun like kids movie, but Adam, I feel like the most confusing part is the whole plot of what the bad guys are trying to do, because it's, I don't know that they ever like explicitly say insurance money. They might.
Yeah, I would totally agree that the weakest part of this movie is the plot, for sure. That is definitely accurate. I was, the whole time I'm watching this, I'm like, okay, Adam, what if you were like 6 years old and watching this, or however old and whatever, and it'd be like, I would not understand a word of this. I would have no idea what's going on. Why is this guy trying to blow up a spaceship or whatever? Like, it just makes no sense. And then I will say, if you're going to have a, obviously this is, you know, a Disney Channel movie, so this is not going to happen. But like, if he's willing to kill everyone on that spaceship, just whack Xenon right when you find out that she has the chip and call it a day.
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing here?
Well, that and the dumbest decision is at the end of the movie when he's like, I'm going to go sneak on board the rocket that's going to space to make sure she doesn't stop the blow up. But my friend, you were going to blow yourself up. You don't fuck.
Well, no, he was trying to escape. He was trying to...
But why go there? I would just be like, wipe my hands clean of this. I'm out of here. Like,
yeah,
I'm
gonna go hiding. The solution is, okay, so Xenon's going to stop it this time, but then I'll just come back with a different chip and do it all again.
Yeah, it was wild. And I love the way that they come across this chip is because they're always like hunting in the trash to like make things, like they essentially go dumpster diving for cool like technological parts. And Raven Simone's character Nebula, which I think is a pretty cool name, I gotta be honest.
It's a great name.
Like, you can name your pet Nebula.
Little on the nose though, no?
All these names are on the nose.
Thing is
Well, I don't know how about all of them. You got freaking Greg over here. Like,
Greg is an Earth human.
Greg is on Earth.
Yeah.
All right. Fair enough.
Yeah. And the funny thing is Xenon, because when you think about it, Xenon has not been on at the space station her entire life. She moved there when she was 5. So they named her Xenon before she went to space.
No, but you know what? They uncovered that that's not really her name. Did you hear this in the classroom where they were like, oh, welcome, blah, 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 blah. She was like, no, like, you can call me Xenon. And remember, Margie was like, oh, like, that's better.
What was her real name? I don't remember this.
It started with an A. I can figure it out.
Yeah, figure that out. Because
this was shocking information to me. I was like, what?
So do we think that people change their names when they go live in space?
Oh, I could see that happening.
Like a Hebrew name. Like when you're born, you get yourself like a Hebrew name.
Okay, so what would Greg's space name be?
Greedus Apetus.
I feel like you got to look at the constellations, right? Like a constellation, or look at like the periodic table. Let's see. What is like a element that starts with G besides gold? Like there has to be a good one. Ooh, what about like cobalt?
Did you just ask for one that started with G?
Yeah, but then I saw cobalt and I thought that was a really good name. Gallium. He could be gallium.
That's pretty good.
Not a bad one. I feel like that's believable.
Oh, it's like, okay, this is totally cultural appropriation. But remember when you were in like French class or Spanish class and everybody got a name there?
I took Spanish and I was Inés.
That's lovely.
Oh.
Yeah, well, because they didn't, if your name had an equivalent, you were allowed to like change it. So I'm trying to think what is it? John would be like Juan.
Right.
But Jessica, there is no like Spanish equivalent. So
yeah,
I was Inés.
Well, yeah. Love that for you, Inés.
What would your space names be?
Stella. Well, that's a little basic.
There's nothing on the periodic table that starts with a J. So I feel like I'm going to have some troubles. It could be potassium.
Okay. So her real name is Radon Carr.
Radon.
Wait, her name is Radar.
Radon.
Radon.
Oh, and she's called Xenon. That's not even close. And also, Radon and Xenon are both on the periodic table, and Xenon is right above Radon, but Xenon starts with a Z.
Well, Xenon's a cooler name.
Or excuse me, it starts with an X on the periodic table.
Well, whatever. It's a cooler name. So I understand. Yeah, Radon Carr. That's her real name. Which is something that I never. Oh, maybe. Yeah.
Ooh, I could be Leo. Because that is,
I feel like we need that for you.
Earth to Leo.
Earth to Leo. That was a line.
Yeah.
In the movie.
I did watch the movie, Sarah. Yeah.
Did you though? This is a test.
He watched it twice.
Gotta be prepared, you know?
So Xenon is getting into all sorts of hijinks. I think we do need to talk a little bit about the looks of all the children and adults in the space station, because they all dress alike. They're not wearing uniforms per se, although I did notice they had the first letter of their first name kind of like a patch on there. Ooh. Like that was like very shiny. But Adam, what did you think about the fashion in this movie? Specifically, maybe let's talk about Nebula's slinky ponytails, because I love them.
Okay, yeah, good. I was going to say the same thing. I do, too. I love the vibe they have up there. I will say I thought the plot was dumb. I thought a lot of the dialogue was dumb. But in terms of the vibe that they set in all these different locations, I thought that, like, especially the space vibe worked out really well. I think they like did a really good job of establishing this as like a separate futuristic type space thing, and I think that the hair like did a lot of work for that, because everyone kind of was, you know, going crazy, going wild, but like they were all sort of close to each other in the craziness, and I think like it worked really well.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, what about you? You're big on fashion. How did you like the outfits that they wore in space?
I mean, I've always loved it. I mean, if you break down the pieces, there's a lot of, I don't know. So they're essentially wearing a spandex, you know, onesie, or what are those
things
like
called? Leggings and long sleeves. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Then they're wearing a vest, and it's just like, okay, why are you wearing a vest in space and leggings and a skirt? But when all of these pieces are together, they look really cool.
I also have to admit, I really loved the chonky sneakers, like the platform they're wearing sneakers.
Skechers.
Okay. They were so cute. I definitely liked Nebula's hair better than Xenon's hairstyles, because Xenon tended to have, like, her hair was down, but she had these pigtails in the front. But they always had, when you were growing up, those hair ties that had, like, the two baubles on either end. And to me, that read very, very childish. Like, a five-year-old puts those in their hair.
Or is it ironic because a five-year-old would put them in the hair, but she's, like, reusing it and is like, I'm making this cool again.
Oh, it's like recycling.
Yes. Yeah.
She's not that far away from 5 years old, though. Like, these are, you know, she's like a child.
Yeah. She's really young. I think, like, what happened with space fashion is, you know how in 2007, all of us had those crazy side bangs and were wearing eyeliner? Yes. And it was kind of like a disease. Like, it just kept spreading and spreading. I think that's what happened here. I think that Xenon dressed like a crazy menace because the adults are not dressing like this. I think Xenon or, like, another kid that's a leader started dressing like this. And then it's like a disease, all the kids started dressing.
Well, the adults, like, too, though. Even the adults are wearing all these colors. And
are,
like,
they?
Yes. Oh, it's only cool tones. It's very strange to me. No warm tones are allowed in space because they're only wearing pink, blue, and purple. No other colors are allowed. Only pink, blue, and purple.
I mean, they're wearing you're right. The adults are wearing, like, jumpsuits and bright colors. I was thinking about her parents, Astrid and Mark.
Mark.
I know.
What a loser.
Astrid and Mark, they got to wear kind of like white coats, like important. I'm important scientists. Mm-hmm. Like, important scientists can't wear purple spacesuits.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just kind of funny to me. Again, I thought they could have done a better job of, like, we can have the kids wearing all the fun stuff and the adults can wear more, like, normal looking clothes. Although I understand, like, it's kind of a whole community thing at that point. But go ahead.
Well, in Star Trek, you change the color that you wear based on the section that you work on. So, like, the green people, they are, you know, the health people, and the red people are the war people. So maybe the purple people have a specific job and the blue people have a specific job.
Honest to God, I would have bet money that there would never be Sarah making a Star Trek reference on this podcast. And I don't know what to do with myself right now.
Is this shit 90 shows taught me? Like, is it?
We've branched out. Now it's space 90s.
Oh my God.
Taught me.
I've never seen an episode of Star Trek, so I can't even pretend to comment on that.
I know there are red shirts, but I also don't know if that's Star Trek or Star Wars.
Well, The Orville. How about that show?
I've never watched that.
I don't even know what that is.
The same thing. It's like a Seth MacFarlane, like, live show where it's like space, but like a little bit of comedy. Okay. Like a Star Trek, but with Seth MacFarlane humor. If that makes you happy, which it does not make me happy.
No, it doesn't seem like anything I'd be interested in, but, you know, to each their own. Adam, I know you had a lot of thoughts on the opening section of this movie where we have Xenon basically rushing to get to class. Was that the part that was blowing your mind instantly?
I don't know about blowing my mind instantly, but I have to say I respect a movie in 99 that, like, has the gumption on Disney Channel to be like, here in 2049, our president, Chelsea Clinton. Like, that, I feel like that's a big swing for the opening sequence of the movie, and I respected it. Like, that did.
It's only mentioned, like, once.
Yeah, it doesn't ever come up again. It's
really, they don't even need to say who the president is.
No, they had no reason to do this. They gained nothing, and not a single child understood this reference. Literally, no one got this.
It was just for the parents that were forced to watch this.
Yeah. Movie. And you honestly, probably most of them didn't even like this reference. So,
wait. So, you don't think that kids know who the presidents are when you're like 6 years old?
I certainly could not have told you the president's granddaughter when I was 6 years old.
Yeah, that's
the daughter.
I couldn't have said any. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I was just a dumb 6-year old.
No. Like, I wouldn't have. I maybe could tell you the president if I was six, but certainly not the president's children. Not a chance.
You would know, like, the last name Clinton. If that's your president probably. At that time in 99, it was.
Like, as a kid, is we're this not joke for your 6-year old?
There's no way this joke is.
I don't think so. Yeah. No, exactly. I don't think so.
Why is the teacher a hologram?
No one knows. I don't understand this. Is it because they're like, we don't have the budget to bring a teacher onto the space station, but we want the kids to be able to be here with their parents who are working on it. So we have to have a hologram from Earth teaching the children.
So somebody is like in their closet teaching the children on Earth.
Probably not in their closet, but
probably not. I was just thinking like Good Sound Acoustics.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So the guy is standing in his closet teaching what only looked to be about 10 kids. Like, are there only 10 children on the space station?
In that grade, Jessica.
Sorry. Jeez,
Lisa. How many grades do they have out here?
I don't know. I mean, 18? No, that's
18?
Right. You could be right. K through 12 plus college. Like a
full plus college.
They go to college in there? I don't think so.
Interstellar University. And then so I will say, when we see like the concert though, there's not a lot of kids there.
No, that's what I was saying. There's like 20 kids. I mean, it's a big space station, but when you think that the majority of the people there are probably working on the space station, they don't have their kids there, or they don't have kids, or their kids are on Earth. You know,
you're probably only allowed to have one child there.
That would make sense.
Nobody had a sibling, you know?
That's actually probably a good point. They're probably limited because they're like, we don't have enough space. And we also don't have enough stress helmets for people to wear when our children piss us off.
We all need stress helmets.
Yes.
The stress helmet. I wasn't laughing at the fact that there was one. Well, I was a little bit, but it was mostly what they decided that a stress helmet would look like.
Mm-hmm.
It is purple velvet that goes over your head. Mm-hmm. And then it has these gold bubbles that kind of rest against your face. I don't understand what it's
doing. Do you think like the gold bubbles have maybe like a cooling effect?
But what is the need for the whole like velvet drapery part? Is it accessing your brain? Like, what is happening when you put one on?
I don't know, Jessica. Maybe you need to go to the cooling chamber to figure it out.
The chill chamber. Get the in chill there, chamber. Jess.
Just some of the choices they made in this film of like, this is what 2049 is gonna look like, cracked me up. And I'm not making fun of it in terms of, obviously in 1999, they have no idea what they're limited by the technology of 1999. So when we see them doing like FaceTime on these big clunky devices, you know, it's like,
it looks terrible.
It's twice as thick as the original iPad, maybe three times as thick as the original iPad. Like,
it doesn't look great. How about the fact that, so they were saying at one point that this spaceship was what did they say, like at least like 25 years old,
right?
So we are in the time mm-hmm. when this thing is supposed to be blasted out into space, and we are so far from this.
We're not even actively working on it.
No, the most we have is freaking like Elon Musk like hanging out in orbit for 10 minutes and coming back down.
Yeah,
I could definitely see Elon Musk pulling a stunt like this guy did, trying to get insurance fraud money here.
Absolutely.
For sure, that could be something that happens. Even with the spaceship, though, whenever they pan out and do like the really bad CGI stuff with the giant spaceship, it looks huge. Like, we're talking about how there's not that many people. This thing looks massive.
Yeah.
I mean, you can fit thousands on here.
It was huge. I will say, if there are any For All Mankind fans out there, there is a space shuttle type of thing in season 3 that looks kind of similar to this, and it doesn't hold that many people. Like, it can fit a good bunch of people, but I feel like it's kind of realistic to not want to pack them all in like sardines, especially when they don't get to go outside. Like, they never get fresh air. Like, we have a point where Xenon, one of my favorite bits of this entire film is the fact that it seems like Xenon, in all her knowledge and education in the space station, has never learned about Earth. She doesn't know what flowers are or what their purpose is. She doesn't know what rain is. What is falling? Why is it wet? What is happening?
These children are sheltered. They don't get to learn about Earth and earthly things.
Yeah. One other thing I have a lot of question on is why in space their like economy is so different that they don't use money. She says we barter with moon rocks and alien skulls.
No, she was being sarcastic, Jessica. They probably use, you know, in Disney, they have those wristbands that you
the magic bands.
Yeah, that's probably what they use. Like, they don't use actual tender.
Adam, do you have thoughts on this?
Jess, are you telling me that you, until this very moment, for the last 20 years plus of your life, have believed that they have been bartering with moon rocks and alien skulls?
This was your
come to see this Lapidus moment? Like,
what stood out to me was that they don't use, like, United States dollars. So it's like, what are they using? And so I just believed her.
Okay, also, I don't know if they're of the United States. Like, it seems like a pretty non-nationally aligned society.
I guess I just took it they were all speaking English. So there's a whole other movie
in French where it's like, oh, this is the French Xenon.
Xenon.
So we just didn't get to see that.
Oh my god. I did try and like zoom in as much as I could on the map when we went into the classroom down on Earth for the first time. It did not look like a normal globe, but I couldn't make heads nor tails of what it actually said.
Detective Adam.
I was trying. I'm just trying to find any semblance of reason in this movie, Jess.
But there's not a ton of it. Yeah. So she's down. She gets sent to Earth to live with her Aunt Judy, who's afraid of space.
Can we talk about how ridiculous that is? That her parents are just like, hey, you're just going to like not live with us anymore. We're going to just ship you off down to Earth. Good luck.
Take your spiky heart backpack and get the fuck out.
She got grounded. Don't you understand how serious this is?
Like, literally grounded.
Yeah, they really emphasized they really laid on thick that pun right there.
And she looks, when she gets down there, it's wild to me how different the fashion is between Earth and the space station, because all of the children look fairly normal again, except for Margie, who always is just wearing what looks to be, it's not a feather boa, but all her sweaters have this like featheriness to them. And we know right away we're supposed to hate Margie.
Oh yeah. When they're at that little restaurant that looks cute as can be because it's on the bay, Margie is automatically bashing Xenon for her look. Not only that, she is super jealous. And Greg is just giving creepy stary eyes the whole entire movie. Greg is like staring at Xenon nonstop before he actually talks to her.
Do you guys like Greg?
Greg is so milquetoast.
I don't even think that Xenon likes Greg. That's the thing. Like, I was watching it and like Greg is so into Xenon, like obsessed with her. And she's just like, hi, thank you for existing. Thanks for showing me the horse, but can I actually talk to your best friend who's actually useful to me?
The only time that Greg is helpful is when he somehow realizes that the earring that Nebula gave Xenon has this chip, and that is what freaked out the baddie. So that's the only time he's like somewhat helpful. And I also, speak of long distance relationships, how the hell is this gonna work out, Greg? Like, you don't even live on the same planet.
Maybe Greg could come to space. They could like split their time 50-50. Even though they're 13.
Legit child.
As children.
Yeah. I don't think that Greg got to the sequel.
He didn't? Greg is not in the sequel?
I think that he got cut.
Did he? Now I need to look.
Cause... wow. Now I'm definitely not going to watch all the other Xenon movies.
Xenon the sequel. I remember Margie is in it. Yeah, Margie.
How do we get Margie without Greg?
Because you have to have a villain.
Yeah. Oh my God. Are they going to make a 14-year-old a villain?
I think she's like kind of a villain in this. The premise of the sequel is that Protozoa is in like a depression funk and doesn't want to sing. So Xenon's
she visits
job,
him. Yeah, I remember to visit that. Him
and be like, please, please don't quit music. You're the best musician.
We need to wait, and we need to tell Adam at the end of this podcast. We need to tell Adam the plots for the sequel in Z3.
Wait, is that a joke or no?
No, well, that was true.
No, that's definitely true.
Okay, so the first Xenon movie is about insurance fraud. The second is about mental illness. Like,
yeah.
Who is coming up with these plots?
They were ahead of their time.
Were they? Yeah.
We forgot to mention too that the reason that Xenon gets grounded, the final straw, is because she gets on a spacesuit somehow. These children get a spacesuit that fits her.
That's not even how, but yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a reason though.
That's a reason.
And she flies out and just hangs out in the middle of space. And she's a child and she gets caught.
So then she can watch like the Aurora Borealis equivalent.
Yeah, whatever the space Aurora Borealis is.
I'm blaming this entirely on all of the adults because it seemed like it took them 0 seconds to figure out how to do this and pull this off.
It's very accessible, right?
Easiest thing to do ever. I just did it. I will say one of my least favorite parts of this entire movie was when Xenon first got to Earth and she's like, oh, gravity is so strong, and tripped over her bag. Bitch, there's gravity in space. She was on the spaceship. They weren't floating around like that. They were walking firmly on the ground. They have clearly replicated gravity. Why are they I'm dropping this. Oh, it's so heavy.
I thought the acting was stellar.
It cracked me up so much when she does that. It's just like, ugh, gravity. The thing is, if you live in space and then you come to Earth and you have fresh air and plants and, I don't know, fucking actual food, you're telling me you want to go back to the space station? Never. What did she say? Like, everything they eat is, like, freeze-dried or something. Like, fucking gross.
Was it, like, a capsule? Yeah. She's never had fries before. She's never had pizza before. She's never had burgers before. No, preservatives, no nothing.
The preservatives are the good stuff.
Adam, what do you think about Aunt Judy?
Again, like, who is this character for?
Me! The question
that I keep coming back to, because, like, right off the start, she's, like, cracking jokes about how alone she is and, like, how pathetic her life is. Right away when she comes back, when Xenon comes back for a day, she's like, that's more action than I've gotten in years or whatever. I'm just like, who is this character for? She's like supposedly supportive, but she's terrified of flying to space. She basically contributes nothing to the plot and then ends up in a romantic entanglement with the head of the space station.
Yeah.
That's her arc?
To like, true love.
And let me tell you, that's not the end of their relationship.
Oh my God.
It continues in the sequels.
We get them in the sequel, but not Greg?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I think that's a better casting choice, to be honest. I feel like Greg is so boring. And at least we have, like, Plank is fine, but Aunt Judy at least has some spark to her.
Does she?
I thought so. I especially love when she's actually going to space and she's just, like, freaking out. I don't know. I like Aunt Judy. She has a little spunk. She has some. She belongs in space because her outfits and eyeshadow are very of the space station. She wears blue eyeshadow a lot.
That's just the 90s, babe.
That's true. That's very true. Yeah, I love Aunt Judy. I think, but I also think I'm thinking more of her in the sequels as well. And I remember really liking her in the sequels. So, but yeah, this freaking guy has this little chip, this little disc. He's trying to, like, put in a virus on the space station. All it takes is a tiny chip with a virus to take down the whole space station.
It's a bad bug.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that part of it, that was the most logical part of the movie. Because, like, yeah, one little bug could definitely, like, get in there and ruin this whole technological thing. That's fine. I'm okay with that logic. Everything else surrounding it is terrible, but that would make sense.
How scared were you all of getting like computer viruses and like computer bugs when you were a kid? Like, I was terrified of it. I was like, oh no, like I can't download any music on LimeWire because I'm going to get a computer bug.
Yeah, I downloaded a lot of illegal music on LimeWire and FrostWire. So it was pretty much like a when, not if type of situation. But you know, it just
life on the edge, Jessica.
But the thing is it's nothing. It's not as terrifying as that tiny little caterpillar that crawled across the screen and then suddenly made the computer start sparking.
Well, that's what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah. Is this movie like the reason why you thought that was what was going to
happen? I think so. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If I ever saw a little like computerized, I mean, Clippy is like one step away from that caterpillar on the screen. You can't trust that motherfucker.
Do you need help? No, bitch, get out.
I'm fine.
You're going to give me a computer bug. Get out of here, Clippy.
Yeah, so we have to talk a little bit about Protozoa, because that is kind of the very beginning of the film. Is Xenon is trying to win a contest, because Protozoa is coming to space. They're going to do a concert and they're going to bring someone on stage, and there's a contest. And so she finds space junk, and she uses the space junk to make this like a model of Protozoa.
Yeah. We love found art, found objects. I don't know. I know this was like back in the day, to me, this was like uber impressive, this like real life model / puppet, a protozoa, but I fucking hate that thing. And I would just make them lose out of principle. I don't want a model of myself. I'm sure Nebula's poem was gorgeous.
It probably was. This whole vibe had me thinking of like the Suite Life cruise that you could win, or like the Danimals thing where you could like win the competition. Wow. And the whole time I was like, this is so dumb. Like, wow, she's going to win this and there's not like a good reason for it. But okay, like let's keep moving the plot forward, I guess.
You know, it's like I remember entering sweepstakes when I was a child for, I don't know, like Toys R Us or wherever, and waiting months for that phone call, which would never come. I would be like, I am winning the like supermarket sweep of the Toys R Us. Remember the Toys R Us contest where like you get like 5 minutes or whatever and you get to sweep the entire store? I was convinced I would win that, and it never happened.
I never got to even go to Toys R Us, and I always was just like, but Jeffrey the giraffe looks so fucking cool, man. I just want to go in there and buy all these toys. But we never got to go into Toys R Us.
Why were you not allowed to go to Toys R Us?
Well, it was just because like the purpose of any shopping trip with my family was never to buy me toys. And so it was like, why am I going to go to a store just with toys?
What do you mean? Like, they never like, okay, Jess, like we're gonna go and we're gonna buy you something.
No, it was always like, you know, like Christmas and birthdays and stuff like that. It was never like, we're gonna go shopping specifically for you. It was like they had to drag me shopping to the mall, and it was awful.
Jessica, how did they buy your love then?
Oh, they didn't.
That was the only way that my parents showed me that they loved me, by buying me stuff.
No, they did it the old-fashioned way, by just kind of like hanging around me a bunch, you know.
Quality time? Who's
quality
that?
Time?
Yeah, what is that? Okay. Anyway, I definitely went to Toys R Us a couple times. I didn't like buy a ton of stuff, but it's always fun. I always love being in those toy shops.
Yeah, because you just got to see everything.
So many things.
Yeah. One other thing. So we have to talk about a little bit more about the technology. So we talked about the terrible CGI on these space sequences. This is fucking horrible. But the fact that in 2049 everybody drives a punch buggy and they're all like basically Teslas is pretty great.
Okay, so I think like Aunt Judy kind of explains what the situation is here, because she's like, okay, so like this town that we live in is kind of back to basics. Like, it is modeled to look like a classic American town because people want to get out of the high rise, like uber
technological cities of Los Angeles and New York. So mm-hmm. I think that that's why it's like their excuse for why it looks like it's like after 1999 and not anything that's that impressive. But I also think that this movie is the reason why I wanted a yellow Beetle for like most of my young adult life because of Aunt Judy's car.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't want a yellow Beetle? That's, you know, number one car.
Right. I wanted one.
I liked the town in general. But like, you know, if they're gonna take us 50 years in the future, I'd like to see a futuristic city of some kind. I mean, we had like the spaceship and whatever, and like there was some big buildings right when we landed to move away and whatever, but like I'd like to see, if you're gonna go down to Earth, give me a futuristic city. Give me a big city.
You wanted more.
Yeah, I wanted a little bit more here.
Yeah, that's totally fair. I think that all their budget is spent on the space station and the costuming versus the actual cityscape. Because we're outside a little bit, but most of the time is spent with Xenon and her friends trying to figure out this whole chip situation and make an antivirus for the virus that is on the space station, which apparently a 12-year-old can do. Anything is possible, folks.
It's too hard. I would just give up.
Well, we also had to spend a ton of money renting out a gym for an afternoon that had a pool in it. We really had to.
Yeah, Xenon can't swim. She's used to swimming in space, which I don't know that that's different.
What is that? What is swimming in space?
I know you're not like, it's still water and there's still gravity. And so I don't understand. Also, I don't think they should be wasting space station space on a pool. It feels a bit wasteful.
Unless they are swimming in like their drinking water, which would be really bad. We don't want to see that. Also, why were there like 15 kayaks in this gym? It was just like one little pool. Why are there so many kayaks?
Who's kayaking in a pool? I don't think you're supposed to do that.
I don't know. I mean, this school is like very top notch.
There are always so many.
There's so many. So many kayaks.
I'm so sorry. But I can't stop looking at all these kayaks. And my favorite part is, I will say that the music during the drowning sequence was very intense for like, you know, 5 feet of water that she fell into.
The teacher right there.
Well, everybody the teacher is right there. Save her. What's the point of the teacher being there if she's drowning and the teacher doesn't even save her?
It's this is Greg's shining moment.
And yes. Margie didn't even get in trouble.
No, Margie never gets in trouble.
All she did was push her into the pool. I mean, you know, I don't know.
Well, when someone can't swim, that's a pretty serious
thing. She just said that she could swim. She just made a big huff and snuff, pumping up her ego. Yeah, I swim from Alpha Centauri Major to dipshit minor or whatever. Like,
That is so dangerous.
I could swim.
Yeah, I could swim just fine.
I also love the random like chemistry class where Xenon and Margie are paired up, and Xenon uses Celsius, not Fahrenheit, and inadvertently starts a fire.
That's on her.
Yeah, I just think she
should have known it wasn't supposed to be Celsius because that's gonna be fucking hot.
She's not American. She doesn't know.
I will just say this is my one instance where I have to side with Margie. Fahrenheit is far superior to Celsius. I will die on this hill.
Wow. What? No, Fahrenheit makes no sense when Celsius, like, freezing is zero. That makes total sense.
How many times are we interacting with that zero number in our day-to-day lives?
I mean, when you live in the Northeast and you get 0 degrees Celsius, then a lot.
Yeah, but you know what freezing is in Fahrenheit. I am so pro Fahrenheit. I have to die on this hill. When someone asks you like, how hot is it on a scale of 1 to 10? Boom. Like, oh, it's a 65. That's the temperature. Okay. It's like a 6.5 in terms of hotness on, you know?
Oh, if it's a scale from 0 to 100.
0 to 100. Yeah.
That does make sense. That does make sense.
I love Fahrenheit. Celsius makes no sense. And the conversion makes no sense too.
The conversion is really needs to be made easier.
Is it really just like plus 50?
No, it's a whole equation. You can't just like double it or something. It's a whole math equation.
9/5 plus 30 something.
That's not viable.
It's not.
The conversion should
be. This is why every time I talk to any of my friends who aren't in the United States, I have to Google what the hell degrees is happening. So, yeah, so we have Xenon constantly trying to break into this, like, corporation to figure things out. She eventually does have to go to Greg to get help. Like, she doesn't really want to go to Greg because he is so far up her ass constantly that she's like, please back the fuck up.
He's giving creepy vibes, right?
He's giving stalker vibes.
What about their date? Oh, they're super romantic date
because they go to the stables.
Greg somehow has unbridled access to horses at all times and can just take them out without any adult supervision, even though he's like 12.
Is his job. Like, I don't think that his job is, you know, taking girls here. Like, that's that seems
this
like
is his move. He's like, let me take your hand and brush the horse with
no shot. Xenon's the first girl here. No shot.
No, Margie's been there. Like, all the girls have been there.
Yeah.
She even gets on a horse, which honestly, if I'm from space and I'm seeing this animal for the first time, 0% chance I'm getting on that horse.
You're going to get thrown off in 1 second splat.
Xenon's pretty brave for getting on that horse. And they're just riding around, like, no helmets, no adults, just taking their time. They have a nice little scenic view. This is when he brings her back, and this is, and she falls off a bike because she's like, I'm used to stationary bikes.
It's all just so dumb, Jess.
And then she orders every food on the menu without thinking at all that Greg's gonna have to pay for it all because mm-hmm. she's used to paying alien skulls and moon rocks.
Well, thankfully, 12-year-old Greg has a job, so he's able to pay for all of this.
Yeah.
Thank goodness. Yeah. Even though he doesn't, they just dine and dash.
Oh, it's so funny. So they're having a little chat, and then so this is when they go home and it starts it's raining. She's like, what is happening? It's falling from the sky. Oh, I remember this from when I was 5. It's called rain.
You would think that they would have like the room where more holograms happen and they can have these like real life experiences. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Every single futuristic movie I've seen.
Oh, like a weather room.
Yeah, like a weather room.
Would you like to experience rain today?
You know, in X-Men, when they have like these practice fights, you know, in the room.
Oh, like a war room.
Wild references today. You're really.
Yeah, what are you doing? Did you get replaced with like a cyborg? What is happening?
Star Trek and X-Men?
I know. Who are you? Where did Sarah go? Is it the braids? Did the braids affect your brain?
It's the braids.
What is happening?
And yeah, this know. Is when her aunt comes out and she's just like, oh my god, girl, you're getting so much action.
Yeah, I haven't seen that kind of action. Zenas the penis.
Oh, one of my other like small notes from this is like, yes, Xenon has a very, very important chip dangling off of her ear, and she's just like, rain, hooray!
It's weatherproof. It has to be weatherproof, right?
Why? They're in the space station. There's no weather up there.
Oh, that's true. I don't know. What about the, like, when that creepy Lutz guy, like, breaks into the house, and it's like, I don't understand. Like, if you are breaking into the house, why do you have to make such a mess?
Throw everything everywhere.
That's not going to help you. In fact, it's probably going to hinder your search for the chip if you just make a mess.
It was so funny. I just, yeah, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous that they're like making themselves known. Like, we were here. Look at us. We're trying to steal your shit.
This is why I'm just saying, why do they not just kill Xenon? It would be so easy. They're willing to kill hundreds of other people. Like, mm-hmm. I do not understand.
Yeah. And Xenon is trying to warn her family, but of course they don't believe her because she just is always getting up to antics.
They blocked her iPad.
Yeah, on her little iPad. And they won't let her get back up to space. Also, I love when her friend just pulls the tiny chip out of her iPad and suddenly she's allowed to call Nebula. That's all it took. All it took.
Technology is either wildly advanced or just the simplest thing you've ever seen in your life. And there's not a lot of in between.
And one of my favorite scenes is when they're with her and freaking Gray or with the bad guy. And she's like, I'll give you the chip if you get me a ride up to the space station. And he's like, okay, great. And Greg's like, wait, you have to write it down on paper. And so he does. And then she's like, okay, here. And then the guy, he like like the paper actually holds any weight. He like takes the chip and then he takes the paper from her and crumples it.
What? I thought the contract was binding.
Yeah. I mean, Greg came in here like a master negotiator coming and getting him to sign a written contract. How is he supposed to know he would operate in bad faith? I mean, this is ridiculous.
And it turns out all you need is something that looks like a chip and a bunch of nail polish, and you can make your very own xenon chip, which has your face bopping up to be like, boy, gotcha.
She really got one over on him. She really Didn't you did. Love that, Adam?
You know he's a bad guy because, oh my God, you know, I just realized all the bad guys are wearing warm tones. Oh. He's wearing mustard.
Yeah.
Xenon's dad was wearing mustard.
Oh, well, I'll take it back.
But he might be a bad guy too. He sent his daughter down to Earth, so I don't know.
In the sequel, he could be a bad guy.
Oh, spoilers.
Plot twist.
I will say also about this, this is very classic children's movie of like the kid knows what's happening and none of the adults listen. That is like the biggest trope ever. And it's very, you know, it's very, very traditional.
Yeah, I gotta love it. But not to worry, because Xenon has a plan. She's going to call up Nebula. Nebula's going to get like information on a shuttle that's going to be going off to space. All Xenon needs to do is get there on time.
That's it. But
unfortunately, the Tesla does not move quickly enough. And freaking Margie is holding shit up constantly. She's like, stay away from Greg. How many times did we get a stay away from Greg moment from Margie?
You don't own Greg, Margie.
She's just trying to secure her man. I mean, Greg is a freaking catch out there. He's got the horses. Margie's got a space hovercraft thing.
I really think the real catch is the guy who figures out the virus, right? Like, he doesn't get enough credit, I don't think. He's also the one who drives the Tesla.
He's the star of the movie.
Yeah.
He definitely will make the most money out of anyone there, without question.
Yes. And so then they get there. It's too late. And Margie's like, oh, well, I guess you're going to miss your concert. And Xenon's like, that's it. We have to go to Microbe, talk to Protozoa, get on his ship, and get to the space station. That way I'll get to not only be in the concert, but also save the space station.
Hmm. So yeah, I feel like she would get booted in no time.
Oh, yeah, she somehow manages to convince Protozoa to take her up into the space station with him. And no adult needs to give clearance for this. She just hops on board.
Yeah. I mean, once you have the word of Protozoa, you're golden. That's it. That's your ticket.
Because you can... I love how Protozoa was like, you can be a rock star. Like, don't be like a henchman. Blah, blah, blah.
Adam, what did you think of Protozoa's hair and outfit here? Because it's a lot.
The hair is ridiculous. No one should ever have this hairstyle ever. Full stop. Shouldn't even be a thing. The outfit, however, I kind of liked as like a rock star in 2049. I was like digging it. I wish that it was, you know, on someone who had some better dance moves. But overall, you know, I liked it.
Yeah, Sarah, what do you think of this hairstyle? It is kind of like, people did this punk rock back in the day, and that's I think where they got the vibes from.
I mean, if you ask me, I think it's stunning. He's the number one rock star in the entire galaxy.
Yeah. So he does bring her up, but of course, the two baddies, for who knows what reason, decide we're going to stop her and go towards the space station that's about to explode.
Yeah.
And of course, Aunt Judy has to come too, because even though she's afraid of space, she loves Xenon and she needs to help her. And so they're off to space, and Xenon immediately gets taken, put into custody, but not to worry, Nebula's on the way. It's always about the air vents, everyone. If you're ever stuck in a room, it's always about the air vents.
Every time. Could be Ocean's 11. I mean, it literally doesn't matter. Any situation, you're trying to break into anything, it's the air vents.
Yeah.
I will say, the best fashion choice of the movie, in my opinion. Number one fashion of the entire movie. Every time that spacecraft lifts off, the pilot puts on those glasses, and I love it. Every time it's like, all right, time to take off, zoom, the glasses go right on. Yes, when you know it's time for business. There's no turning back now. We're
Why do you need sunglasses in space?
No clue.
The sun is too bright. I can't see.
no idea. But she puts him on with like such confidence and vigor of just like, I'm about to fucking take off this plane. Like, let's go.
Oh my gosh. And so, yeah, so they get there. Zembula saves Xenon. Xenon, it's now Xenon's chance. She has to go put in the antivirus software, but before everything is safe, she has to put in the access code in Wingdings.
Wingdings will save us all. This is absolutely fucking nonsense.
When I was a kid, though, one of like, this is how you know kids are not bored these days. We were bored. Our generation was the bored generation. We had to make shit up to do. For funsies, I would go in and write something up in Word doc and then change it to Webdings or Wingdings. And that was my fucking fun for the day.
Oh, wow. Wait, that makes so much more sense than what I did.
What did you do?
I just wrote in Wingdings and then tried to figure it out afterwards. I don't know. What is the purpose of Wingdings?
No one knows.
I don't know, but it sounds like you two had a lot of fun growing up.
We did. We did. Wingdings, it's just like the ABCD is just a bunch of different astrological signs. A is Cancer.
Well, now we're giving up the code. So sorry. We're going to make this really unfun for anyone.
This entire podcast is going to be passcode protected by Wingdings. So if you're listening, you did it.
I just don't understand why they had to have this last part in.
Oh, like, the concert? Are you kidding?
No, 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 no. Her putting in the code.
Oh, you know, because they wanted to show off the Wingdings.
Like, why did this have to be a part of it? She did all of the work to get back into space. She got the friggin' chip or whatever. She was able to put it in. She got everyone to trust her. Why did we have to make it come down to one more last moment of, like, saving everything? This was so dumb.
And I mean, it's the last second and it shuts down and then it's like antivirus accepted. Boo, boo, boo.
Did nobody else know the code? Like, is nobody else there being like, hey, Xenon, you're wasting time. I have the code right here.
Yeah. Why? How does she even know the code? What is the code? Where was this from?
I don't know. And like, why that little boy that had on his iPad all the codes from his dad, like, why couldn't he give the code? Like, it always has to be Xenon saving the day.
It's always Xenon. Yeah.
She has a hero complex. Yeah. Which is unhealthy.
100%. She thinks very highly of herself.
Yeah. And so then we get the best concert of all time. Okay. Protozoa and Microbe.
Adam, you have to at least love this concert. It's just the best concert ever.
Xenon attends it in a shiny, bright pink blazer. She has these weird pink doodads in her hair. And Protozoa is wearing like a silvery purple long like duster jacket that has like belts dangling from it. Describe this. Mm-hmm. But and the drums that are being played are like rock band drums. They're not like actual drums, which is interesting. But we do have the song Zoom Zoom, which is just so good, Sarah.
So good. I mean, everybody remembers Zoom, like Supernova Girl.
Zoom, zoom, zoom. Make my heart go
boom, boom.
Supernova Girl.
Okay. Name one infamous song from High School Musical.
He's going to name all of them.
Wait, what do you mean infamous song?
Yeah. Like, this is the best song. Like, what's the equivalent in High School Musical?
What do you think infamous means?
The best.
How is this the same podcast where you've been making Star Trek and X-Men references? This one podcast. I mean, like, we're all in this together. We'll be a better song than
no,
that.
It's forever. Cheesy as fuck.
It is cheesy as fuck.
What do you, how can you even say that this is also not cheesy as fuck? You're my supernova girl.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
How is this thing? What does that even mean?
boom, boom.
A girl. I also love when he dances with his guitar and he does like the chicken with his neck.
Yeah. Okay. You like that? This is okay. My challenge to you is this, like, go back and watch the scene, but like really focus on the choreography.
I'm watching it as we speak.
No. Really get into the choreography of that chicken. Because he's either like bopping his head forward. He's either walking to the left, walking to the right. And sometimes he points. Like
half of singing is pointing.
No, it's not. No, it's not, Jess. It's just not.
You know, they're doing like defying gravity. Defying gravity, though.
But we find out that because obviously Xenon is supposed to go on stage, but because she saved the world, she's allowed to get two favors from Protozoa. One is that it's dedicated to Greg. And two.
Oh my God, Jess, we have to talk about number one here, because
what a waste of a favor.
We keep seeing Greg on this little FaceTime situation, yeah. And he looks like he could not possibly give less of a fuck about anything that's happening.
She doesn't even turn the screen around, yeah. So he can watch. He's
staring at her. Greg is watching her watch the concert. She just doesn't care.
She's like, I'm gonna have you on FaceTime, but you have to
watch. Greg, watch me watch the concert. It'll be so much better.
It's so dumb.
You can't watch the concert yourself. You have to watch me.
He has no expression on his face the whole time. Like, they keep cutting to it, and he just looks so. Oh my God.
And then Nebula gets to go on stage, and she has her hair in her normal little slinkies, but she also has sunglasses on her head. And of course, what instrument is she given? It has to be the tambourine.
Love a tambourine. I was honestly hoping they would let her sing some of the song. That would have been the only thing that could have saved it, in my opinion. But it got there. Also, she gets multiple favors. There was plenty of room on that stage for multiple people to get up and dance. Why is there only one person dancing with them?
One is allowed.
Xenon wants her BF to, as she says, which BF is boyfriend, but she wants her BF to get her chance to shine. She does not want to take the attention away from her BF.
Except at the end of the song, they all point at Xenon.
They all point right at
him. And I feel chanting afterwards as it goes to dark. Yes. Xenon, Xenon. Mm-hmm.
I also will say, like, I love her family coming up and be like, oh my God, do you know how much you're so amazing? Have we ever told you that? And she's like, a kajillion times since I saved the space station. My other favorite part that I just noticed is when she's making Greg watch her instead of the concert, she blows him a kiss. And he just waves at her.
Greg's breaking up with her, right?
Yeah.
Just the planet.
That makes sense if we don't see Greg there. We could probably get Margie in the background over there, like trying to get Greg. Oh my God.
Oh, this is so ridiculous. That's the end of the film. I still enjoyed myself. I have to say, I really did enjoy myself. Is it the best movie of all time? Of course not. But it just brings back nostalgia. And it was so ridiculous to see like what they thought 2049 would look like. And so I
did enjoy we're not getting there, man. I'm going to tell you that much.
No, the world will end before we make it.
We have to tell Adam about the Z3.
Okay. So, yeah. So in the Z-quel, just as a FYI, so Margie ends up being Commander Plank, who ends up with Xenon's aunt. That's Commander Plank. His daughter is Margie.
What? Why?
And so she has to hang out with Margie, and eventually they end up becoming friends, and Commander Plank and Aunt Judy get married.
That's the whole plot for
this. Well, and the depression.
Oh, that was serious? You're like, yes. I really thought that was bullshit. Okay.
No.
Like, look, that's Xenon's story of like, has to befriend Margie and get this singer's life back.
And
on
Xenon
track.
Is 15 at this time. And then Z3, Xenon
this
is the
18. One that's really fucked.
Yeah. She's 18. She's trying to win the Galactic Teen Supreme contest.
Which is like, do you remember Guts?
Galactic Teen Supreme.
Do you remember Guts, Adam?
No.
He's too young for Guts.
Oh, he's too young. So, like, on Nickelodeon, there is this
contest where it was like different countries competing to be the winner, and there was just different tasks and you got like a score back, kind of like a mini Olympics.
Okay.
And then like finally the ending was like you had to like climb this hill, and like whoever got there first like won. But so it was kind of like a, I don't know, I guess it's like a mini Olympics, Galactic Supreme.
Right. And so Xenon has to, she has to beat this like handsome guy, but she also reunites with a moon preservation activist, Sage Borealis. And Sage Borealis wants to stop the moon from being like colonized. And also Edward, so Commander Plank and Aunt Judy now have a step, like a foster daughter who's obsessed with Xenon. And so she's like constantly getting Xenon into trouble.
But yeah. No, but isn't there like some sort of like element where there's like a moon goddess?
Yeah, Selena. And she wants to destroy Earth. So Xenon has to save everyone from this god.
So what? She's fighting a god.
Yeah. And so Xenon, Sage, Aunt Judy's foster daughter, and her friends are all the ones who are going to save the day. So it's basically all children are going to save the day. So everyone has to, yeah, so they have to get everyone out of Protozoa's tour bus, Protozoa's back, and try to remove the moon dome. And they take hover pods to do this, but the dome is too heavy. But luckily, Commander Plank and Aunt Judy show up and they save the day. And Selena destroys the base and then like waves goodbye. But Selena's gone. And then yeah, and then in the end, Sage and Xenon kiss, and Protozoa's band has a new song out, and they
which
have
is a really good song,
like really.
Which one
good?
Is it, Sarah? You have to
out of the me. Out of this world or out of the world.
All right.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Have to listen to this here at some point.
Yeah. So those are the plots of the Z-quel and Z3.
Okay, I don't want to be dramatic, but those all sound terrible.
Oh no, it's called The Galaxy is Ours.
The Galaxy is Ours.
Okay. I don't know.
But yeah, so those are the plots.
Like really bad. Oh my god.
Now I want to know what the plot of Z4 was supposed to be.
Oh, I mean, somebody cut it. Somebody was like, no.
I love that Xenon she elevates from going against some guy who's trying to get insurance fraud to a full-on god by
the third movie. We're really escalating.
No, they swung. They did, you know, big swing.
Yeah, so that was the film. Adam, how did you enjoy your experience?
Did you like it a little?
Okay, what I will say is I can totally respect those who like are very nostalgic and, you know, this movie is from their childhood and love it for that element. They watched it at a time when it was probably more appropriate for them to watch it, and I respect that. This was just like a bad movie.
No, it's so good.
I mean, like honestly,
when we asked Adam to join us for this, I kind of knew that was probably going to happen because it's one of those movies where you're like, haven't watched it in a while and you just expect it to be great. I mean, it's a Disney Channel original movie, you know?
Yeah. Some of the lines were like kind of funny. There was like, you know, some stuff that I thought was good. I could not get over the sheer number of times that they use the words major, minor, lunarius, and Cetus Lapidus. I just like couldn't get over the sheer number of times that happened. Like it was every other sentence had one of those words in it.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, or in stellar. Oh my god, they use stellar a billion times.
Good.
I don't know. I feel like they could have done a lot more here with that. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more. But for a Disney Channel original movie, it was fine. It was fine.
Yeah, it's a fun watch. Honestly, on a random day, I could see myself throwing on the Z-quel and Z3 just to see what the hell is up with them. Because it's been so long.
Do they keep the same phrases? Do I have to keep listening to Cetus Lapidus?
I imagine they definitely do.
Absolutely.
Those don't die out in the years that it takes, right? From 13 to 18, they're still there. Yeah, so it's so good. Adam, if people enjoyed listening to you, which I'm sure they did, because who couldn't? This is so fantastic. Where can they find you? What else do you have going on?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter, PianoManAdam1. You can also find me talking about Crazy Ex-Girlfriend with Todd and Lindy over on Twitter at 1CXGPodcast. We've gotten into season 4, which is very exciting. And then you can find me on Post Your Recaps every single week talking about Final Fantasy VII with the incredible Brooklyn Zed. And then upcoming, I believe this next week, actually, we're going to be recording our first episode of Doctor Who podcast with Melissa Woodward and Kevin Mahadejo. And we are super excited about that. So go over to Post Your Recaps and check that out.
Wow. So much, Adam. You have a lot going on.
I like to stay busy. Jess, you record like 12 podcasts a week. What do you mean? I mean...
So we don't need to tell people that.
Wait,
we know.
Yeah, everyone, we've been new, Jess.
Yeah, they already know. Sarah, what do you have going on? What else is going on in your world?
Yeah, and besides the end of season 5 of end of season 6 of Boy Meets World and end of season 4 of Dawson's Creek, we you know, check us out, Shit 90 Shows Taught Me. We also on Post Show Recaps are having a great time covering Pretty Little Liars Original Sin, Jessica and I. And also I'm having a really great time covering the new League of Their Own show from Amazon Prime on Post Show Recaps. So yeah, find me at Sarah Ferguson, find me at Shit 90s Pod, find me elsewhere doing other things.
You can find me at the Just Sterling, of course, podcasting about Paper Girls, finishing that up over on Post Show Recaps, and always talking about Community over there as well. So you can check out all of that over at Post Show Recaps. Thank you all for joining us today on this out of this world adventure through this podcast covering Xenon. It was truly a podcast major, and I'm going to be thinking about it for the rest.
Stetus Lapidus, Jess. Let's get out of here. My God.
Let's get out of here. Have a out of this world day, everyone. I hope you have a stellar day. Talk to y'all soon. Okay, bye.
Just ask. Shit 90 Shows Taught Me.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.